Do you wake up in the morning feeling tired? Lots do, and it might be because you simply don't get enough hours of shut-eye, but it might be about the quality of sleep you get. Obstructive sleep apnea, OSA, is where your throat partially or completely closes over, leaving your bloodstream starving for oxygen and you gasping for air. When that happens regularly over the night, well, is it any wonder you wake up exhausted? So what to do about it? Life Matters' very own guinea pig, Michael McKenzie, investigates.
Just turn the radio down there. So I'm on my way to my local chemist. I'm getting fitted for a special machine today. For as long as I can remember, I've woken up tired, and it's now been such a part of my life for such a long time that I feel kind of uncomfortable and alien when I don't feel tired. So before that gets any more chronic, I thought I should intervene. A few weeks ago, I went down to this chemist. You'll meet him in a second. His name's Dustin. And he gave me a special half-price sale on overnight sleep studies. What a bargain it was. And he fitted me up with a couple of sensors, one on my hand. I had a belt around my chest, which had a sensor on it. And something, I think, over my head from memory. Nothing too onerous, nothing too intrusive. And then he sent me home, and I went to sleep, came back, handed in the pack. He sent off the data it collected overnight for analysis. It came back. Apparently, I'm a lucky winner. I've qualified for a CPAP machine. So exciting. Dustin.
How are you?
Okay. How are you? As I wait for Dustin, the pharmacist, to finish with another customer, I'm thinking about how this story all started. I think I was in exactly the same spot in this pharmacy just a few weeks earlier. I was waiting for a script when a woman saw me looking at the latest generation of CPAP machines. And CPAP stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure.
Changed my life.
Sorry?
Couldn't function after 3 o'clock. Got fitted with one of these, and the next morning I was bouncing off the walls. Never had so much energy.
Seriously?
Lost 5 kilos in 3 months. Get one, you won't regret it.
Now, I'll admit I am a sucker for unsolicited peer group endorsement. So, a sleep test later, here I am. Oh, and here comes Dustin.
Dustin, I've just explained to people that you had a wonderful sale, a half-price sale, on overnight sleep studies.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Which I've got the results for here and we can discuss.
Okay, great. All right, let's do that. All right.
No worries.
Dustin's leading me into his back office. Here we go.
We've had our tests come back, our test results come back. So initially with Michael, with yourself, we did the Epworth scale. So the Epworth scale is an initial basic sleep test. It was actually initiated by a couple of sleep specialists at Epworth Hospital, hence the Epworth scale, back in the early 90s, I believe. And they use it as a basic screening test.
To see whether there's even grounds for me to take a study.
That's right.
But depending on your point of view, either I failed or I passed on that.
Yes. So a score above 10 would indicate that there may be a chance that you do have obstructive sleep apnea.
And what did I get?
11.
Okay, so I scraped over the line for needing a sleep study.
Yeah.
And so what came back in these results when you sent data in?
This has been analysed through a sleep specialist at the Australian Pharmacy Sleep Services.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two reports here that I'll show you. This is the data report, which the doctor uses to analyse and give the actual results from. It shows briefly the oximetry data. The oximetry data is oxygen levels in the blood. Two main things we look out for.
Mm-hmm.
One is what we call the apnea hypopnea index. It's abbreviated to AHI.
Yes.
For someone to be considered not to have sleep apnea, you would have an index value at below 5 per hour.
And what's mine?
Yours is 7.2, Michael.
Okay. And where does that sit in the scale of how bad things
In the
could
scale
be?
Of things, it does mean that your condition is just mild. I've had varied results throughout my time. I've seen results up to 80. I have seen results below 5 as well, which would indicate that you may not have sleep apnea.
And yet people have come to you because obviously they've been worried about their sleep patterns.
That's right, absolutely. What it can often indicate is that when you get a result below 5 is that whilst they may not have sleep apnea, they're usually a fairly heavy snorer.
Ah.
So
I just thought apnea meant snoring.
Not necessarily.
Ah, that's interesting.
So whilst all sleep apnea sufferers do snore, the reverse isn't true.
Not all snorers have apnea.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
What are my oxygen levels like?
Oxygen levels, so the oxygen desaturation index, again, we're looking at a figure below 5 per hour for someone that wouldn't have sleep apnea. And yours is 8.1 there, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So again, indicating that there is that mild sleep apnea for you.
And so what does that mean for my blood oxygen levels?
You know, the standard should be 94 to 98. Yours drop away to as low as 84%.
Does that mean that my body then would go into trigger mode where it'd start to wake itself up because it would have alarm bells going that my blood oxygen level was below what was safe?
Exactly right. And that's exactly why you do have sleep apnea events. So it gets to the point where the oxygen levels in the blood drop off so much that your body forces you to wake up so you actually do breathe. And that's why it's often that gasp of breath that often a partner may recognise in the sleep pattern overnight.
But of course, I'm not even aware of it.
No, you wouldn't often be yourself. Yes. But in effect, you're not getting a good night's sleep at all.
Right.
You're waking up periodically, and this could be every 20, 30 seconds.
So let me just recap in episode 1 of Adventures in CPAP. My pharmacist, Dustin, has the results back on my sleep study. And things could be worse. I have mild apnea with a level of 7.2, when no apnea gets you a score of 5. So, you know, things aren't so bad. My blood oxygen levels should be around 94 to 98%. And unfortunately, according to the sleep study that I had overnight, mine go as low as 84%. And we've also learned a really interesting fact. All apnea sufferers snore, but not all snorers have apnea. And so everything seems pretty manageable. And then... Now, here's the killer for me, because when you told me this on the phone, I must say I was taken aback and somewhat astonished that I would even be someone people want to hang out with. Tell people my snoring levels.
Okay, so Michael, so it does state your snoring levels are very high, with 1,003 snoring events recorded throughout the night. So this equates to 126 snoring events per hour.
I must be really just chuffing along there. You know, it's like a steam train.
That's basically, yes. Yeah. That's a nice way of them putting it, actually.
That's extraordinary because, you know, at times when I've slept with other people, they've said, oh, look, you've snored, but you've just turned over and been quite quiet. So maybe this might have been a bad night, but then I guess it's indicative of how bad I can be, too.
That's right, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And whilst the results might vary a tiny bit throughout each night, if we do it on a different night, it would still show up very consistently.
All right, so we've now organised with you that I undertake a month's trial of CPAP therapy to see if this will reduce some of the symptoms we've been talking about.
A couple of options, but certainly the best and most effective treatment is CPAP pressure. So the use of a CPAP machine, which we've got the latest model here, it's called Dream Station.
Just explain to people what a CPAP machine does.
Sure. So CPAP stands for Continuous Positive Airways Pressure. So what the machine is actually doing is forcing air in a positive pressure sense through the airways to forcibly keep them open. What happens with sleep apnea sufferers, for whatever reason, in obstructive sleep apnea, the actual airways do close over. Now, it might be the epiglottis shutting off, some people with larger necks. There's various different physical reasons.
Being overweight like I am doesn't help.
It doesn't help, admittedly. Yeah, true.
Is it age-related as well?
Not necessarily. It certainly can occur in young people as well.
Men more than women?
Generally, yes. And usually, you know, the typical would be the overweight male. However, that's not 100% always the case.
Thanks for giving me a slight out there. That's very good of you. Okay. All right. So we've seen the little masks outside and you're advocating one of the new ones, which looks incredibly non-intrusive.
That's right.
Because I thought I was facing a sort of giant oxygen-style mask with enormous strapping over my entire head.
We always initially use the least invasive type. So we do prefer to use the nasal one. Unless you have a real, you know, physical blockage in the nose, then certainly that's what we'd try you with first.
Right. So, take me into the dream station.
Into the dream station we go. So, we've set it all up on an automatic function.
That's monitoring me overnight, isn't it?
That's right. So, the two types of machines, we can have a fixed pressure machine or an automatic pressure machine.
Okay.
So, certainly in the initial trial phase, we would use an automatic machine. And the reason being, at this stage, we wouldn't be able to adjust it to a fixed pressure suitable for you.
So it's collecting data all the time?
That's right, every breath, basically.
Really?
Every event, yes.
Wow. If you haven't seen a CPAP machine before, I think back in the old days they were much larger and I suspect much noisier. Yeah. But this one is 40 centimetres long, I guess, and about 20 wide, and it's got a little digital display on the front and a couple of buttons. One's power and one is a little sort of green triangle. What's that mean there?
Yep, so that's the ramp function. The whole point of the ramp function is it would start at a minimal setting, say 4 or 5, and then slowly ramp up over an X period of time to that that pressure of 10, say. So, so that way, by the time you drift off to sleep, the pressure has gone up to that appropriate setting for
it. And I don't feel so shocked by the sudden influx of air that it sort of freaks me out a bit.
Exactly, in your wakeful state. Exactly.
Right.
Dustin guides me through the features of the Dream Station. There's a humidifier. It heats up distilled water, so the air is moist and warm when it enters my nostrils. The semi-translucent pipe that delivers the air is also heated for those cold winter nights. The pipe then arrives not in front of my face, but at the top of my skull, like a cross between an umbilical cord and Michael Lunig's Mr. Curly. The join there rotates so I can turn over without strangling myself at night. The air then gets piped down the sides of my face into this special soft latex tube with holes in it for my middle-sized nose.
Because it is just a nasal pillow.
Yeah, it's a great name for a band, by the way, the Nasal Pillows. I like that.
So all it'll be a matter of now is just turning on this machine. It's one button to start it up. The pressure will come out at 4.
Yeah.
What I will say to you at this stage, Michael, obviously you're sitting up rather than lying down.
Yeah.
So it can feel a bit strange at first, but you'll get used to it. All you'll hear is
that's
the exhalation.
That's so weird. So should I wear this every night?
Yes, definitely. So the minimum is that we really ask people to use is trying to at least do 4 hours. The more the better. It's really getting into a pattern of sleep as well. So rather than, you know, falling asleep at the telly that some people are prone to do, say, okay, it's time for me to go to sleep now. Go to your bedroom, have the machine all ready to go, prepare the body for sleep, put the mask on, drift off. So it does forcibly improve your sleep pattern because you need to be at your bed where the machine is rather than falling asleep in front of the telly.
I can't hear any noise. I expected it to be rattling and bangs and crunches.
Yeah, particularly the older machines were quite rattly and noisy, I guess like an old nebulizer for asthma, and I think that's where a lot of the improvement has been in. They're basically silent.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible. Yeah,
it is. It's amazing.
Hey, thank you for making this relatively simple and not too threatening at all. I will see you in about a week.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm back home now, and this is the end of the day after catching up with Dustin, and I'm going to do my first night with the magic machine. I love the fact that it's called the Dream Station. Let's see if it lives up to its name. So I've got all the instructions. I've been through those reasonably carefully. Here's my little nasal pillow. And I'm just going to put it on now. I'm actually in my bedroom, if you're wondering. I will provide a photo at some stage, just not now. Allow me at least some dignity on the first night. Okay, so plugged it in, pipes all connected. Just hitting the power button now. That's it. The LED has started. And so has the air through my nasal pillow, which is why my voice is now sounding rather strange, because it's very hard to talk while air's being pumped into your face. So if you'll excuse me now, I'm going to turn off my light, turn off the microphone, and see how the night goes. And I'll report in to you. I know, I sound like some sort of British fighter pilot, don't I? This is Algy reporting from the rear cockpit
of a Lancaster bomber. Wish me luck. Nighty night.